Okay, I'd like to call to order the Design Review Board meeting of Tuesday, January 24th. Can we have a roll call, please?
Member Carroll?
Here.
Member Clinton?
She will be here.
Thank you. Member Schneider?
Here.
Member Shaler?
Present.
Member Sweeney is absent. Member Whalen?
Here.
Vice Chair Smith?
Here.
Chair Branch?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, administrative agenda, meeting minutes.
I move that the minutes be accepted.
I'll second.
Any discussion? No? Well done. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 I will abstain as I was absent.
Okay. Item B2, Planning Director Report.
Yes, good. Hello. Good afternoon, Chair Branch and members. Can I turn that up a little bit? So we have just two announcements today. Some of you may have heard that our Planning Director, Jennifer Carmen, will be leaving the city. She's moving on to the city of Morgan Hill up in the Bay Area, South Bay area. So she'll be leaving this week. And the other announcement is we have two seats open for appointment or reappointment on DRB, and we hear that Mr. Schneider is not putting his name in after 15 years. So we definitely will have one reappointment in that seat. So just to pass the word out, and really it would be great if we could field Goleta residents, because that's one of the seats that needs to be filled.
Okay.
And that's it.
Item C, review of agenda.
Oh.
Mary, you said there were two seats to be filled?
Two, yes.
And so the second seat would be?
Ms. Clinton's, okay. Because she took Mr. Gregory's position, and his term was up now.
So. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay, review of agenda.
Yes, so today we have item 5.2, the Cortona Apartments Project. It was continued from a previous meeting to today's meeting. However, the applicant's not quite ready, so they're making a request to continue to your February 28th meeting.
Very good. Okay, item D, public comment. At this time, the public has an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Is anybody here wanting to speak? Seeing none, we'll move to, to E1, right? Signs?
That's correct.
We're doing those in full board. Okay.
And Ms. Fun will be presenting this.
Job on the location of that thing.
Good afternoon, board. This is a request for conceptual and design review. The applicant proposes two new signs on the north and west elevations. Both signs will read AutoZone with red and orange acrylic faces and will be 32.5 feet long with a maximum letter height of 36 inches, measuring for a total of 97.5 square feet. The signs will have LED illuminated channel letters with the remote exterior raceway. And the signs presented today are what was shown on the AutoZone facade improvement plans approved last year at the November 8th DRB meeting. After reviewing the proposed sign application, the signage is consistent with the sign code regulations, being within 100 square feet, but is not consistent with the signage recommended in the Old Town design guidelines to be within 65 square feet. The applicant would like to proceed with the current proposal, but may provide an alternative at the next meeting if the board would like to reduce the size. And I'll let Ross just talk about the sign more.
Excuse me, Chair, I had a question for staff.
Sure.
Are there any changes being proposed from the one we received January 10th to the one that we're receiving today, January 24th? Thank you very much. We received a packet on January 10th and then on one on January 24th, and I wasn't sure if there were any changes between the information
there were not
from one to
there
the
were
other.
No changes.
Thank you. Okay.
Certainly. My name is Ross MacArthur. I represent the owner and AutoZone in this matter. With the changes that AutoZone is doing to the building and the facade and the surrounding building, they're wanting to keep a national image to this location. This is very consistent from city to city across the country, and we're hoping that you would consider allowing us to put this up. There's two other properties in the area, 96 Gas and Toyota, that have similar size signage within a half mile of this location.
Do you have anything else? You have that look on your face. Like...
Oh, no.
Okay. So then, questions from the board?
Would you be willing to decrease the size of the sign in the front significantly?
While maintaining the side square footage? And when you say significantly, are you talking 10%?
30%.
30%?
You talk about national image, but there are other municipalities that have strict signage regulations that form compliance, force compliance, Rancho Palos Verdes, Thousand Oaks, Scottsdale, Arizona. So Goleta doesn't necessarily have to accept the national image as presented today and would be, in my opinion, I think would be, I'd be interested to see if you'd be interested in compromising.
Of course we would. We're not, it's not etched in stone. We're willing to work with the community.
Thank you.
To whatever level you feel comfortable with.
Okay. Any questions from you, Tom?
Not at this time, no.
Were you aware of the Old Town design guidelines when you did this?
Only after our second set of drawings went in, we were given initial approval. And then it came back that there was Old Town guidelines for that. Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, could I clarify that? We did give the applicant the Old Town guidelines when during the remodel, and I don't know if you're, you know, if you were past that, but we also did give that to the sign designer.
It was past that at that point by the time we saw it. Got into our hands.
Okay. Aaron, do you have any questions?
No.
You guys? All right. How about comments?
Mr. Chair, before comments, declarations, please, and also we have a public comment on
site this visit, project. No ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte. Sorry.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Drive by the site, no ex parte.
Site visit and no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
We have a speaker slip here. Cecilia?
You want me to go to the podium?
Or you want me to just... Podium,
if it's working,
but I'm working.
Yeah, if you don't want
there.
Okay.
Make sure it's turned on, please.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you all. I happened to drive through Old Town on my way here, and if you take a look at Old Town and look at all the other signs in the area, you see there's a great cacophony of signs, all of which most of which probably predate the sign ordinance or the sign guidelines. But now is the time when it is, and it is important to start adhering to these guidelines, because it's Old Town needs some spiffing up. And I think it would be important to try to get signs to make sure that they are more standard with the guidelines. It's interesting that the objective of these sign guidelines is not to foster uniformity, which the applicant seems to think that there's consistency from city to city. We don't need consistency. We'd like something that expresses the spirit and quality of the business behind the sign for Old Town. I'm taken that the letter height is way too big. This letter height maximum is 10 inches per the guidelines. And hope you've had a chance to read these and look at these. I think the sign is too big. You know, there are a lot of interesting signs in Old Town that really are just totally out of place. And I think that as you consider this, you need to rope back some of these signs that have been presented that really don't quite fit. Talks about sign lighting, and I'm not sure what this thing is a cabinet sign or not. I'm not really entirely sure.
It's illuminated sign box, yes.
Okay, well, it says sign lighting, no internal box type lighting. It says new internal box type lighting is prohibited. So there are quite a few cabinet signs in Old Town. It's, you know, in the rest of the city, we don't allow them. You don't approve them in the rest of the city. There's none. There may be some illegal ones, so I don't know why you should be accepting, you know, an old cabinet sign in Old Town. Anyway.
Thank you.
Thank you. And now we'll go start with comments. Bill?
Thank you, Chair Branch. Yeah, I guess the Heritage District Architecture and Design Guidelines within 65 feet, but just because that designates a maximum doesn't mean it's appropriate in every situation. Cabinet signs, I would hope that you would consider an alternative to that.
Illuminated channel letters, I apologize.
Okay.
It's not a cabinet.
Okay, that's important. Just want to note that There's limited opportunities to improve the look and feel of Old Town and Goleta. We kind of have to address these on a project incremental basis, and the DRB does have a little bit to do with that. With the dissolution of the RDA, the city really is kind of hamstrung in terms of what they can do to make it nicer. The Goleta City has done some nice things. I mean, if you look at the street signs down there, they've even got the nice little Goleta logo on there. So the city's doing what it can to spiff it up, in your words, to spruce it up. So every opportunity we get, I think we need to take advantage of to make it better. So I would just hope that you would consider a significant reduction in the size of the sign. I note that even down at the corner where the city of Santa Barbara juts in at the corner of Hollister and Fairview, that Big Brand and Jiffy Lube have much more appropriate signage, and the city of Santa Barbara is doing this. So, you know, I would hope that at a minimum in Goleta, in Old Town, we could at least emulate something similar to that. I think people will know that this is AutoZone and you won't need to have signage as loud as this.
Thank you. Tom?
Excuse me a second. I tend to go along with Bill. This just feels way too big for Old Town. One question I've got, actually be more, and I should have spoken before my questions, is for staff. Was any research done looking at the other auto parts store that's in Old Town? I forget.
O'Reilly's has 24-inch high channel letters, mm-hmm. and it is 34 feet across. So they have a similar
size sign.
And then they have another sign on the west elevation that's 70 square feet in size.
Thank you. Still in all, I mean, I know it just feels too big for the building. It just does, and I think a reduction I think would be in order.
Okay. Carl?
Yeah, I have two issues. One is the physical size of the text, which I need to get back to. But I believe there in our current sign ordinance, we do not allow signs to project above the top parapet or the height of the building. And that came about some time ago. I believe we had a re-signing of one of the restaurants out in Camino Real Shopping Center, and even though it was a really nice design, we had to tell them no because of that rule. So I'm looking at this whole sign that faces Hollister as having as way too tall. I mean, all just
it does not just extend above the roof line or the parapet. That's the way the ordinance says. It cannot extend
correct
above the parapet. The roof line.
So you're
or
saying
the
top of this is the parapet as opposed to this height? Because
this
is there just to put the sign on it when you look at the side.
The sign, I apologize, will not extend above the roof line or the parapet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anyway, so I have a problem with that. And then I'd like to get at least down in the 12-inch range, which is like reducing it by 66% or something like that, just to be more in keeping with the Old Town guidelines.
Aaron?
I concur. I don't have a whole lot more to add than what's been said. It just feels too aggressive, particularly with two signs on the building.
Dennis?
Yes, there's not much I can add to those comments that wouldn't reiterate them. Originally, I had thought reducing it by half, but I do think reducing it by two-thirds is more in keeping with downtown. And while I don't have immediate recall of O'Reilly's Auto Parts, that sign is on a largish facade that was pre-existing, so it isn't. I don't think a fair comparison. And I took the time to walk the block, and there's really nothing like this, at least in that immediate zone, apart from the Toyota and the gas that you mentioned. This is extending the height of the building, a good 5 or 6 feet of what it is now, and then. So a good portion of that really just becomes signage. I'm just reiterating what others have said. I would be willing to go for a lesser reduction on the Pine Street or West elevation. And then in conclusion, I need a clarification. I'm looking at the detail on sheet 5, and this looks like a new illuminated cabinet. Why? But it says it's illuminated channel
letters.
It says that, but
cross section of the letter.
Of a letter.
Yes, and the mounting detail, its attachment to the wall, and the feed from behind the wall to the LED. That's all it is.
So each one of these letters on the sheet, auto zone, is a cutout.
Correct.
And is that true for each of the orange slashes or
no,
chevrons?
No, those will be adhered to the background.
They are not illuminated
in any
way.
That's not illuminated. Simply AutoZone is illuminated.
Thank you. That clarifies all the detail.
Karis?
Sorry, I actually do want to ask about that a little bit more. Does each letter is its own box, or is it just the outside has a LED?
Each letter is its own box.
Okay.
If you saw O'Reilly's, again, okay, they're 24 inches tall. It's exactly the same construction.
It's the same thing with the box. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I concur with the previous statements about the size and the overhang and all that. Thank you.
I concur. I would just say I don't, you know, in understanding the corporate imagery and all that kind of stuff, I'm okay with that if that whole thing just gets scaled down to a point where it meets the guidelines of Old Town. It'll reduce its size significantly, but it'll still be that exact logo, that exact look, just smaller.
Mm-hmm. So, can I have one more comment?
Tom.
I would, and I agree with it with my colleagues here too, I would, I think I would be okay with myself with a 1/3 reduction rather than going down to a 12-inch high, you know, 24-inch high on the logo. But that would cut this down by a third, and you know maybe take the top of that sign down so that it's level with the parapet of the building.
All right. Well, I guess with all the comments, does somebody want to take a stab at a motion?
I just had just kind of one comment about the process, and not that I'm an expert and know the way to do this best, but in some cases this, and maybe this is an example of why signage review should be included with architectural review, because the signage becomes such a dominant part of what people see, and yet we're not really sure where it's going to place, how it's going to be placed, the fact that it's going to actually be higher than the parapet that was behind it.
All right.
I'll shoot. I would say we need to continue this to February
14th.
14th is the next one. With the conditions that the sign area be brought down so that it is not higher than the adjacent parapet. And I would still shoot for someplace in the 12-inch range for the size of the text. You might be able to stretch that a little bit, but so that's my motion.
All right. Can we get a second?
I would second that and just ask, please, if you could provide a new visualization. I really appreciate
it. Yeah, we'll go back when
you've
discuss
done this.
It
really helps to understand it.
Sure.
Okay. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. We will see you February 14th.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Then the next item, I believe I will have to recuse. Go ahead and introduce the next
item. Item E2 is the Hilton Garden Inn overall sign plan located at 6878 Hollister Avenue, APN 073-140-004, case number 16-177-DRB.
And I will have to recuse myself, as right. I've done throughout the project.
I'm stepping down as well. I did some work on the landscape drawings for this project.
Okay, well, now that we have two members recusing themselves, I'd like to call the declarations for the other members of the board on this project.
Thank you, Chair. Site visit, no ex parte.
No site visit and no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
No site visit, no ex parte.
Thank you.
Chair, I had a question of staff as we get started. Once again, since this is another packet, what changes that there are between the ones that we received on the 10th versus the 24th to this project?
There was a change in the name of the rooftop signage. So this is the packet that's revised.
So there was a change in the name to the rooftop signage. Was there also an additional sign being proposed in this new packet?
Nope.
That was going
to
be located
underneath
them.
Just the name change. Yeah, come up. Like a staff report, Chair? Okay, so I believe everyone knows that this project is under construction. It's the Hilton Garden Inn at the intersection of Stork and Hollister, and quite a prominent corner property, which is why the applicant is requesting more signage than what the sign code allows, and that then it throws it into a overall sign plan for the property. So what's being proposed is three tenant identification wall signs, two monument signs, and then one directional sign. And just to give some background on the project, the construction is a three-story, 89,495 square feet hotel. It has a subterranean level basement, 138 guest rooms, three restaurants, a lounge, fitness room, outdoor pool, spa, a dining terrace, meeting terrace, and a rooftop multifunction deck, and also includes 169 parking spaces. So this process will require DRB. If you're satisfied with what is presented, or is able, if you're able to conclude and approve the project with conditions, then we would bring this to the zoning administrator for the actual overall sign plan. So that's the process. Just a couple mentions here. I think that I'll work with the applicant. There's between the identifications of the signage in the text and also the site plan, there could be some clarification. I think just labeling the signs more accurately. So, mm-hmm. Mr. Cruz?
Excuse me, Mr. Cruz, before you start, I just had one more point of clarification so that I understand what I'm looking at. One version that was provided on January 10th from the south elevation shows no additional signage right underneath the third story window right below the terrace. And the new packet dated today, the south elevation shows spyglass, something and something bar. Is that a new additional signage
it
that
was in? It was missing on the first plans. That's another correction in your plans that you have today.
Yeah, that is a significant difference that needs to be pointed out that wasn't part of the original submission.
It is noted in the text, but it was not shown on the site plan.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Good afternoon. I'm Pete Cruz. I am the owner's project manager for the project. I submitted this particular package. This package is fairly consistent to what was reviewed during the Planning Commission, the City Council, and DRB hearings previously. It is in compliance with the Hilton brand mark identification and approved by Marissa Gillum of Hilton Exterior Identity Department. And I think it does as a fairly good representation for orientating guests to the property, the hotel guests, as well as the meeting attendees, and also the spyglass rooftop bistro and bar patrons that will be coming to there. And again, that's mainly also due to the significant investment we have up there. The monuments, of course, also on the both corners. One is in conformance to City Council suggesting that we all recommendation that we have the monument sign that is consistent to the opposite corner for the shopping center, and the one then along Cortona, which is also directional and identification to the site, so that any vehicles and so forth know that you are here, don't drive past us, and don't get disoriented by seeing the bus stop and the pedestrians that are just beyond. I think it works fairly well. The letters will be channel letters with a backlit to them at all locations. And if you have any other additional questions, I'll leave it to go from there.
Thank you. For, let's see, do we do public comment before or after? I forget, for or after questions. I know we have a speaker slip here from Cecilia Brown, and so I think I'd like to call you to deliver your comments.
Thank you for this opportunity. I think, first of all, let me just talk about the positive. I like the wall signs. I think they're of appropriate size and scale. I don't mind the one for the bistro up there. I think that's okay, too. My concern are the monument signs. What city council said they thought they liked really has no bearing. You guys are the approval authority for signs. And I believe that only one monument sign should be approved. You know, people are going to know where this project is. There is no doubt about it. It's of a size, bulk, and scale that it's actually sort of in your face. And I think that the wall signs are really enough. What's interesting to me is that projects of a much larger scale, occupying more street frontage like the West Star development down the block and the Camino Real Marketplace, which, by the way, has three entrances and extends for two blocks, has only one monument sign. One nice monument sign. Allowing two monument signs sets a bad precedent, and two aren't needed. If you look at other hotels in the area, the Marriott down in Stork, I think they only have one. The Goodland Hotel just has a pole sign, a refaced pole sign. Motel 6 has an old pole sign. So, really, there are no monument signs, and I think that one is more than sufficient. You know, the city's general plan indicates that signage should be minimized. This is really maximizing it. The monuments and what is being requested further is that the monument sign should be it's illuminated by ground-mounted lighting. Well, the city does have dark sky guidelines. Well, these are ground-mounted lighting is usually uplit, even though you have, you know, some sort of shielding. It's not really a dark sky. I don't want to go into it, but I think that there needs to be another form of lighting for this monument sign. The signs on the walls, I think, are okay. I think they're, you know, these, I'm not sure exactly what they are, but I think that the monument sign could be spruced up somewhat to be as classic looking as a Camino Real Marketplace sign, which I like. I want to talk about Section 3, the general signing specifications. It does talk about the prohibition of automation of the sign, but I believe that this prohibition should be moved to the prohibition section, which makes more sense. I'm not familiar with the term automation used for animated signs. Our current sign ordinance and our proposed but not yet adopted sign ordinance calls out for the prohibition of animated and moving signs. And I think this is the language that should be used for clarity and consistency. If additional language is needed as the intent of what signs are allowed, then you can add what is indicated here. Prohibited signs, there's a request for temporary banner signs. I think you ought to know just how big is this banner and where is it going and how many they're going to be. Hopefully that you've had an opportunity to read my letter. I think 2 months is too long for a banner sign. Also, poster signs, what are those and where are they and what is that like? I've never seen that. Sandwich boards, again. These are, under our current sign ordinance, these are portable signs and they are not allowed. And I think you don't want to clutter up this site any more than it's already cluttered up because there's a lot of development on this site. Anyway, I'd ask that you not allow sandwich boards as a temporary sign. There is no motel property that uses sandwich boards. I just think they're from some other era. Sorry.
Thank you.
Sure.
You said you wanted them to spruce it up so it looked like the
Camino Real.
What is it that you like?
I think it's very tailored. It's very classic. It's very subdued. It's internally lighted. The letters are all individually lighted. You know, ground mounting lighting, you see a few around. We saw that project on Patterson that was ground mounted lighting, and we should have held firm. We should never have done that on the DRB many years ago. It's tacky looking. And this project with the signs that are being proposed is good, but I just think you want to spruce up that monument sign so it looks classier. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, questions from members of the board. Carl.
The reason we're doing an OSP is...
OSP typically is for multi-use, right. But this is a large property, and it does what they need. It does not meet the sign ordinance, which is typically for one tenant, one building.
And so it's the only way to give them a variance on sign
right.
signage is so, to have to do an OSP.
Right, looking at the whole program for the site.
Okay.
Dennis.
Questions? Or
questions. Okay. Karen?
One. Quick one. I'm just trying to get myself familiar with the site. The two monument signs are here on the corner. It's also not on the in the picture.
I supposed here, to have.
And I'm assuming that's Hollister, yeah?
Yes.
This is Hollister here. Okay. And that's Stork. Okay. Then I know where we're looking at. Okay.
Two monument okay. signs, C1 and C2.
Now you're oriented.
Yep. I got it. Thank you.
Bill?
Thank you, Chair. I don't think I have any questions at this time.
Okay. Well, I guess that puts us over to comments. Would you like to start?
Thank you, Chair. Okay, let me see if I can put this in some sort of order that kind of makes sense. I just want to start by saying I'm concerned about the signage once again. We bifurcate signage from the architecture of the project when they're really kind of a great deal of overlap occurring. For a project that, in my opinion, is already excessive in terms of its massing, scale, and height, I really don't support any additional variances on signage. I think one monument structure would be adequate if it could be as attractive as the one across the street at the Camino Real Marketplace. I think you'd have a real winner there. I'd really like to see your notion of what that might look like, because in our packet there really is no visual depiction of the monument sign from the vantage of the marketplace. Once the hotel is built out and looking good, what will this monument sign look like in that most prominent corner in Goleta? I would appreciate being able to actually visualize that, because I think it could be very attractive. I think the second request for a monument sign in Cortona is not necessary. I really do think that the signage on your west and south wall signs adequately inform the public of the hotel, and I think they're attractive signs. And lastly, I guess I would disagree with the speaker. The third story spyglass is, to me, is excessive signage. I can't point to anything, though maybe there is something like that that's similar in Goleta. I think the fact that it's located on the monument sign and the fact this is going to be a very attractive place, people will know about it. I don't think that that's going to be necessary for your business, and I really don't think. I think it's excessive signage that's not necessary. Thank you, Chair.
Carl?
Yeah, I forgot to ask one question. How tall are the monument signs?
I think they're 4 feet high.
Okay. I just think it's what happens in these kind of instances, and I get frustrated with it, is if we have to do a whole overall sign program for a one-use tenant, just seems a bit much, and it brings into question a whole lot of things that probably don't apply, but be that as it may, we're stuck at the moment. I would argue that the sign along Stork, sign A, doesn't even need to be there. I would say I would get rid of that one. I'd be more likely to make sure that goes away than the two monument signs, even though I do agree that two might be a bit much. And then as long as everything else, if I understand, is reverse channel letters, halo lit, I guess I'm wanting more clarification on the monument signs relative to materials, heights, and then grade. And we may even need to revisit the landscape areas in front. And then I don't mind the Spyglass Bistro and Bar one that's up on the third floor. But I would, on the monument signs, get rid of it there. Because I think what's going to happen is the Hilton is your main thing, and I think with allowing that sign up on the third floor for the bistro is more than enough for that. So, on that.
Okay, Dennis?
Oh dear, we are going to have some contradictions on this one. Let's see. First of all, the
pick up sticks.
Yes, I agree with the sign ordinance and the speaker that there should really only be one monument, and that monument is all about getting you to the driveway, which is really hard to find on this, considering you're coming from Stork or Hollister. So it seems to me that the monument at Stork and Hollister isn't really telling you enough. Besides, if I imagine this on the ground plane, you're seeing the signage on the building too, so it's just a duplication of signage. So I would argue that the monument at the corner intersection be deleted, and that the other monument on the southeast corner would be the one that's trying to get you to that driveway, which is in not a very logical place, but I understand where it is from a circulation point of view. The signage on the west facade of the building, I do think that that's sort of important for identity, coming off the freeway, you're tired, you're looking for this place, and the building and the driveway may not be easy to find, although I don't like the way that it, I'm not particularly fond of the way it sits on the elevation. As far as that goes, I've forgotten who I'm agreeing and disagreeing with now, but the spyglass sign on the building facade does seem to be an afterthought, that it's almost a bit of graffiti up there, and that I could live with its identity being on the monument sign, which is trying to guide you into it. And then further, I appreciate the comments that were so thorough on the proposal. First of all, a note to staff, there is some word crafting that needs to happen on section 2B under the monument signs. It seems to take the plural case and the singular case in a very confusing way, so just need to get that straightened out.
Anticipation of your
the second sentence. Oh, you're on to me already. Okay. Let's see. I'm not clear if it's in compliance with the guidelines on number three, part three, Roman numeral three, number three, wayfinding entries that shall be ground-mounted fixtures. Are those internally or externally illuminated? It wasn't clear to me. I'll just leave that hanging out there. I don't need an answer right away. And then on the prohibited signs, I think the public speaker was very adept. Any temporary signage, specifically banners, I'll go ahead and give some guidelines. The banner shouldn't be any larger than the approved signs and in those same approved locations. I can see putting out sandwich boards temporarily so that people can begin to find the driveway and their way around, but only as temporary signs. I think that's all I had, Karis.
Wow. Caused a lot of contention here today. Okay, I'm agreeing with some and disagreeing with others. I agree that the west sign does identify the building from the freeway and just as you come off. So if you're trying to get there, that's one of the only ways that you're going to get to see it. My only concern with that is that there's a little comment here that says colors are to be determined later. Is the red not the color?
It is a color.
It is the color. So the color is set.
Yeah.
You're
it's
not.
It's a Hilton
okay.
brand identification.
It said color to be determined. So I was like, oh. That doesn't sound good. Okay, so if it's red, then that's fine. I could see deleting the C1 and keeping the C2 so that your entrance is obvious to people that this is where you want to turn to get into this driveway, because they can only enter from Cortona, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I think you have plenty of signs on the building telling them what it is, and then just to be going to the driveway. This is now how you get there. And to that effect, though, I would say you have a permanent sign there on the D. I don't know if you want it on that side or not, but I mean, that's, I don't care particularly, but you might want it on the other side where people, as they're driving in, see to turn. But this is the actual driveway they're supposed to be turning into. That one, yeah. So, and I think that if you do have that one, the D, then I would say I would agree with the speaker about the no temporary signs.
D is the directional sign?
Yeah.
Okay.
And on that point, I would move it to the other side of the driveway.
Yeah, that's okay. What I'm saying. Yeah.
I see.
The north side.
Yeah.
Okay, well, my own comments on this are kind of running along with everybody else. In other words, I agree with some things and not agree with the others. I'm okay with the signage on the building. I do have one quick question. On sign E, and I'm sorry, I failed to pick this up earlier, looking at the illustration on page... six, I guess it is. And I failed to note this little asterisk at the bottom. Artwork is a placeholder only. So I'm assuming that the script, Spyglass Bistro and Bar, may not necessarily be the form that it'll take. It'll say Spyglass Bistro and Bar, but it's different.
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And E is actually, it should be placed inside that courtyard up on the wall that's there as well.
Okay, I see. Back over there, yes. And on the one hand, I think we ought to be, just to be consistent and with everybody else there, I can see your rationale for trying to do two monument signs, but the signs announcing the location of the hotel, you've got one on the west, you've got one on the front, those would be apparent. So I agreed there should be one monument sign. For symmetry in the intersection, it'd be nice to have it at the corner of Hollister and Stork, but it kind of defeats the purpose because it's trying to guide people in. So I would be inclined to do it on C2. And I think we definitely need more information as to the height, material, et cetera, et cetera. Of the signage, and the ground lighting is going to have to be out, in my opinion, because we have striven every time we work on signs that we do dark sky compliant, so they're halo lit or down lit or something other than ground lit shining up at it. I'm okay with the bar and bistro being up on the wall on E where you indicated where it's supposed to be, as opposed to where it shows on the plan. As we just got through with another applicant not too long ago that wanted to put more than one thing on a monument sign and add an open sign onto it, and we went through this process and turned them down. So the interest of, you know, being consistent and staying with the sign ordinance and all that, I would say the monument sign should just talk about the Hilton Garden Inn, and the Spyglass Bar and Bistro would be up on the wall up there, you know, where you have it located. So that's all I got to say on it. So...
Mr. Chair, so I hear there are several items, and there's sort of some consensus on...
Oh, I almost forgot some other items, and Dennis brought this up, too. I kind of agree with Cecilia. We need something a little more specific as far as the prohibited signs, mm-hmm. Especially with reference to temporary signage. I think the sandwich signs ought to be out. And I kind of like Member Whalen's suggestion for the temporary signage, that it be in the same size and location as the proposed one.
And typically, we've had temporary banners, grand openings for 30 days.
I'm talking about before the actual signage is up there that says Hilton Garden Inn, that, you know, there's a temporary one somewhere, but, you know, that it'd be where the same size as what's proposed, and then it's the same general location and not
the permanent signs.
Yeah, and not, you know, four times larger on a big vinyl banner right there on the street. Not that you do that, but I mean, things happen. Okay. Does anybody want to make a stab at a motion?
Before we go there, get a rebuttal?
Oh, I'm sorry. Please. My mistake.
Okay. Let me just make a few comments, actually, to what I heard, which it's a little confusing, but I it's going to be an interesting conversation that you'll have after this. But I would like to make a few suggestions, actually, on what I heard. And I was presented with Ms. Brown's items and issues, and I just wanted to go through a few of those. I have no issue with the ground-mounted sign, eliminating the ground-mounted lighting and so forth. All the letters will be channel lit and backlit, and so that's not an issue. We would remove all those. We don't intend to have any automated signs or anything else on the building, and that's really not an issue. In all honesty, when I went to go start this process, I didn't know what I needed, and this actual OSP, I was able to crib something actually that was from the courtyard down the street, and so I thought that these are a lot of all the same things. I'm almost verbatim on what was written for that, and so that was some of these things. I thought that those were all things I needed to have in this thing. So that's how that was generated to a large extent. And from the overall poster signs, what our intentions were basically would say, where you have the bistro sign up above on the right side of the building, if you're looking at it, possibly what we were thinking about was to have a small banner similar size that would just say now open, that would hold down from there. We don't are not really concerned too much about trying to put the banners before the actual signage goes up, although it's an idea we might do, but that was the intent. And then also basically to take one that you would see coming down Stork, if you're leaving the 101, that would be just hanging over the top of the parapet at the, not large, but just say now open. That was our intentions actually for the temporary signage. So I think that the monument signs, again, when we went through this whole process several years ago and trying to get to where we are today, the monument signs, the intention were to, so that the look and feel of those monument signs would be very similar to the building exterior as far as color, and we would have some finial on the top of that that's similar to where we have kind of the top hat on the building and a shade structure. So it would be a very classical, go along with the modern style as well for those monument signs. I do think that it is very important, actually, to have both monument signs as far as orientation for traffic and cutting down traffic trips. And because I'm concerned if you don't have the one off the Cortona, people will drive by the hotel before they actually see it, and then you'll have to turn around and come back around and go back in, which generates more traffic trips. I do think it's also important that coming down, depending on what's going on with traffic, whether or not you're going eastbound and so forth off of Hollister also, that you do see that.
And I understand Ms. Brown's concern that the locals will know, yes, it will be. It is a landmark building, and people will know that. But there will be many, many visitors coming that have no idea what this, because it does not look like a typical Hilton Garden Inn hotel. And many people think that they have made a reservation at the Hilton Garden Inn hotel. They are looking for a prototype Hilton Garden hotel, and they will pass by this particular property, which is very architecturally significant and completely different than any Hilton Garden Inn hotel you'll ever see. This is a very boutique-looking Hilton Garden hotel, and the services and so forth will be that way as well. And again, we incorporated 3,500 square feet of meeting space within this facility to also try to answer some of the city's needs and wants. And so there are many guests that will be coming that need additional orientation about what's going on. That's why I think these monument signs are very important. The west-facing sign is important as they come down, as you register that's where I'm going. That is a Hilton Garden Hotel. I would have never thought that. It might have been a hospital or something. I don't know. But I think it's very important. So we don't have any intentions of putting any sandwich boards out on the roadways or any of the sidewalks, so there should be no concern for that. And we're really not in favor of, you know, any kind of pole signs or anything else like that. Obviously, I think the monument signs are a much classier way to go, and we would continue in that vein. So when we talk about the overall spyglass lettering, and so we are still working with our specialty restaurateur for the top space, and we are still working with him on the overall look of his overall sign. You know, the name of the sign is, as Mary indicated, was recently changed, and so we are working through the graphics of that. But the overall sign is what we wanted to get. Overall sign areas, what we wanted to get locked in so that we are close to finishing negotiations with them and want to ensure that he has the proper identity. I don't have an issue also if we keep that up on the upper building and we delete the spyglass bar and bistro off the monument signs, that is something that is more I do agree that, I mean, the main idea is it's the hotel. It's the Hilton Garden Inn Hotel. Certainly do believe that we do need some signage. We have a significant investment on what we're doing up on that rooftop bar, and we will have a third party operating and manage that facility most likely. So I think that those items I want to express, and I'm open to I would like to re-interject one more time after the dialogue, if that's possible.
Carl?
I'm going to go back to is it both sign area, or is it strictly just the second monument sign that requires the OSP?
It's exceeding what total signage exceeds what the ordinance allows for one tenant, so it throws it into.
So if we were to get rid of one of the monument signs, would that get us?
I would have to look back and see how many signs. I believe it still requires an OSP.
Okay. I'd like to go there, but I don't know if I'm going to get there, because I just think having an OSP for a single tenant property.
Right. Our current ordinance doesn't allow that many for one tenant.
Yeah. I'm going to try something here.
One comment. Could the spyglass restaurateur be considered a second tenant? Would that get around my ordinance?
I don't know. I don't know about that. But I do think it's important to have a notification there. It's like the Finch and Fork downtown, which is really at the Canary Hotel.
Canary. Yes.
But all the locals who go there to eat just call it the Finch and Fork. So there does need to be that identification of it on the building someplace. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm gonna throw this out. What if, or should I just go for a motion?
No, try that.
Okay. So we're not gonna go there yet. Okay. So if we get, let's get rid of, assume we're going to get rid of C1, and we're going to take C2 and reconfigure it so that it is perpendicular to the road and you can double-side it. And you may have to move it and adjust that whole area. But then that addresses both westbound and eastbound traffic on Hollister. We get rid of C. I'm not a big believer in A, but if we stay with A, then A, I would argue, needs to be more like the B sign, where it's just one long line rather than stacking, because it seems to me you've got plenty of wall for that there. So rather than having Hilton and then Garden Inn as stacked text, you could have one long line like you do on sign B. And I'm still up for having the Spyglass Bistro and Bar up on the building and getting it off of the monument signs. So, how's that for a compromise?
I think those are fine suggestions, especially reorienting the monument sign. And a question to staff, it might even behoove the proponent to have entry and an arrow, something to really get you down Cortona, because I think that's going to be a real navigation problem. But I totally support having a two-sided monument sign that's reoriented, either perpendicular or at 45 degrees, something that can really be read by multiple directions going around. And a question, Mr. Cruz, as I really study the plan against the elevation, the Spyglass Bistro sign, that's actually not on the front plane, if I understand it. It's back behind the pool, right?
That's
so
correct.
It's set back in there.
Right.
So you may not even be able to see it. So I feel a little more comfortable with that being on the building. So changing my position on that. But I do think signage is all about getting the people, somebody in their car, into that driveway. So whatever you could do to facilitate that. And I would also support Member Schneider's suggestion that the two building signs for Hilton Garden Inn be identical in size. One is now 24 inches tall and the other is 20. And if they're both the same size, the same orientation on the building, I think that would really enhance your overall building design.
Okay. So my workaround was similar to yours. You got some of mine. But I was thinking, I just wanted to check, though, for the Decker's monument sign, did we not approve a second line underneath it that said Decker's Way? Was that not approved?
I think it was. That was like an address, though. But it wasn't.
It said Decker's, and then it said Decker's Way.
Yeah, but that's the name of that street. It's a private drive, but that was the name of that drive. But
okay. Because I asked that question, you
but they were asking about they were asking about doing one that had the product showroom.
The product showroom, yeah, and that's the part we had a problem with.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was thinking, if we put the Spyglass on the west side as you get off the freeway, so that you see it's the Hilton Inn with the Spyglass there, then maybe you guys would be willing to take it off the monument if it's a monument issue. I could see if we take away one of the monument signs, like agreeing with Member Whalen here, that then if you put Spyglass on one of them and it's directed from both ways, I could go for that. That's all. So then that makes agreement pretty much on everything, unless people don't like the idea of the West one having the Spyglass.
There is one more on the signage D, whether the board wants to have that move to the north side of the driveway.
That's certainly agreeable.
Yeah, well,
that's a mistake in functional
traffic issue. It's whatever is the appropriate spot to attract traffic to that entry, whatever side it needs to be on.
As we're brainstorming, I'd like to ask the board to take a look at the C2 monument sign, the idea of placing it perpendicular to the street, and just wondering about the real visibility of it, if it would be obscured by the parking lot to the west, or by the bus loop, the bus turn-in that's uh-huh. right there as well.
I think being lit.
What if we left it up to them to figure out how to be yeah. able to see it, but maybe they would actually want to be seeing it from this angle, from the street as you're driving. You know what I mean? Instead of, but where allow you guys you to turn it.
You're suggesting that one is sign right here, is that right?
Yeah, just that you guys turn it however you
right.
think appropriate.
Either perpendicular, double-sided, or 245 things or something.
But just we allow it to be double-sided.
Right. Yeah.
But
just the one.
Mm-hmm. But just the one. Is most people in agreement with that? Would you consider that as a...
I would consider that, thank you. And I was just wondering if C1 monument sign were to go away, that was, I would imagine, one of the architectural features you were originally envisioning. And then I guess there would need to be some sort of substitute for that space that it's enhances the attractiveness of that corner as well.
Well, I think on that point, Member Sheeler, I think you could retain the monument and it just remains an architectural element that features landscaping or some planting in front of it. It just doesn't have signage on it.
I see.
Mr. Cruz, what are your thoughts about the double-sided sign?
I do think that it has some merit. I know that on original, I mean, I think some of the grades and so forth, and I don't know what the ramifications are going back actually on pulling that monument sign out and so forth.
Like you said, you could leave the wall and pull the sign off it, though, right?
Right. I mean, because I know we positioned a couple of the palm trees out there in accordance with what we thought we were going to build there. But I guess I would come back to that. But if when we get it, take another look at the overall planning for that particular area there, I do think that of the things that I, if I want me to expand or of the things that I heard, actually, it is very important that we get some identification on our rooftop element. And from an overall signage perspective, I think that Hilton will agree going back to a single line off of both facades. And I do think that if we take it off the monument signs, I do think we do need to put underneath the west elevation the Spyglass Bar and Bistro off of the west elevation underneath the Hilton, and then keep the building signage the way it is. And we'll obviously stay with the channel letters and the backlit, and then move the D sign over to the proper position. And then with a plan that we would be putting on the banner signs basically now open for the 60 days is what we'd like to be able to do.
So, you mean you'd like a 30-day extension on the banner signs? Because now really they're only 30 days? Is that
no, it's 60, I think.
Oh, it is so 60.
Now. 2 months.
Well, he's proposing 60. It's been pretty typical. We use 30 as a, yeah. And, yeah, I mean, the clocks, we don't know where the clock starts, but generally around a month is reasonable.
So.
But
my only thing is that you do get hotel guests that don't, you know, for the very first location kind of coming back in and a new hotel opening and so forth is they don't always make it the very first month and so forth. So,
yeah.
And in this case, it would just be a one-time,
yeah.
likely. So the right. board could consider that if that's your...
Does, Carl, you were... I thought you'd sound like you had a motion bubbling there somewhere.
Lots changed since then. We've had a lot of comments, and I think we've kind of narrowed it down, but I don't know how much we want to document, and I probably should document it as much again. Okay. Go. Then you step right in.
Okay, now I'm open to amendments on this one. Okay. But so far, what I heard you say is that we are considering some sort of negotiated agreement for approval. It's for approval, right? that the removal of C1 in exchange for C2 being able to be adjusted.
Double-sided somehow.
Double-sided somehow. On the condition, of course, that it's channel or halo lighting, no more ground lighting. I think we were all in agreement with that. And then the West A would be stay, but change to all being on one line, and then possibly spyglass being underneath that one as well, the logo as your art. Now, if the art is significantly different from the what you've shown us
not,
here, then
not significantly. The only thing that we're playing with actually is a little bit of an Art Deco type letter that was more one of more Darren and
more
you know
a font, issue,
a font issue. Yes,
I like the font, but okay, yeah. Whatever you guys do. Okay, then the third was no temporary signs. No sandwich signs, no automated signs. You already agreed to those, yeah? You
said except for the banner. The banner
except
that
for the banner.
Now open.
The grand opening banner, which we're thinking about a 60-day one-time opening that would be at the same size as the wall signs.
Or no larger.
Or no larger than the wall signs. How's that sound? Did I get that one right?
But they wouldn't be in the same position as the, yes, okay.
Did I get everything?
Sign D is
going to move to the north. Anything else? Did I miss one?
And I'm assuming that includes a continuance to the very next meeting, which is February 14th? Or do you need more time?
No, that's fine. We'll be ready to go.
Okay. Mr. Chair, ideally we would like to bring this to do the whole zoning administrator process, but we can continue to the February 14th. If it's not ready, we can continue it again.
Does it need to go to zoning based on those?
Yes, that's the process. It has a all overall sign plans have a
OSP.
Yeah.
Can we approve it pending these changes? Or do we do that?
That's
up
to the board if you're.
Does that make it more work for everybody?
We need to see the new one.
Okay. So let's do a continuance to February 24th to see the reconfigured and the artwork.
February 14th.
Yeah. I'll second that. and I'm assuming that's really not a problem. You guys, when are you guys planning to open?
As soon as possible. As soon as the weather stops raining. But we want to.
We don't want that.
Yeah. but we would. We're hoping early spring, actually. So, I mean, is where we want to be.
Okay, we have a motion and we have a second.
Chair, I did have one last question.
Okay.
Thank you, I appreciate that. It's regarding sign E, the spyglass bistro and bar that's up on top there. And when I'm looking at page one, it shows E out in front of the pool. Won't it actually be back behind there?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it will be in that inner courtyard up high there.
Right.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any more discussion? Okay, I'll put it to a vote. We have a motion and a second. So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
All right, thank you all.
Thank you. Hey, Joe. It's all yours, Mr. Chair.
Oh, awesome. Look who's back.
That was for that. And then also revised elevations.
I have a small plan here.
Okay. So let me get to those sheets.
E3. Okay, got it. Okay. I already forgot once.
We got going on here.
Okay. Item F1.
Item F1 is for design review. It's the Schwann self-storage project located at 10 South Kellogg Avenue. APN 071-090-082, case number 17-229-DRB.
Before we start, can I get declarations from everybody?
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Same with me.
I did not make a site visit and no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
I have visited the site and no ex parte discussions.
I have a site visit and an ex parte discussion with Gary Schwann, who showed me a site right next to it. That you guys have the adjacent site also?
Yes.
In the back there and restored the creek there?
Mm-hmm.
He let me go in there and look at the restored creek, what they did on one side.
Okay.
So.
Joe?
Good afternoon. So today we have a request for design review approval for the Schwann self-storage project. Currently, the applicant is proposing to construct a new self-storage facility. The construction will include the demolition of all the existing structures on site. This will include a warehouse, garage, and carport. And then the construction of a new self-storage facility, which is comprised of three separate buildings containing a total of 695 storage units, as well as a sales office area of about 1,100 square feet. A little bit of background, the DRB last reviewed this item for conceptual on April 8, 2008. A copy of the minutes from that hearing are attached to the staff report in Attachment 1. The project was approved by Planning Commission October 24, 2011. There's been some minor changes to the project since then. Just to remove a manager's unit and replace that with 10 additional storage units. And the project is here today for review of like architectural design, colors, materials, lighting. And also attached to the staff report are the conditions or DRB-related conditions from the approval of the project, which I you need to look at as you go through the project to make sure that they're complying with those conditions. And I've also attached DRB findings, should you approve it. And at this point, I'll hand it over to the applicant to walk you through it, and I'm here if you have any questions.
Introduce yourself. The floor is yours.
Yes. My name's Tom Schwann. I'm one of the owners with my two brothers. This is what we're proposing, would like to do. Three buildings. They're all roughly 220 feet long by 60 feet wide by three stories tall. We originally proposed the manager's unit, but since then, I mean, everybody's suggesting we don't need it anymore because of the security systems are so much better. So, and plus it's a rough place to live between the railroad tracks and the freeway there. So we took that out. And other than that, we really haven't changed much.
I'm Dave Burke. I'm the architect. And, from the exterior point of view, it's exactly the same project that was before the board back in 2008. We did make a change recently. In that, as we've been going through the construction documents, we've figured out we needed some louvers above the windows to get ventilation across the building. There's several louvers that have fans blowing air in, and then other louvers will let the air out. So this is what the louver will look like. And then we also have some drawings showing where the louver is, and also showing the elevations of which windows get the louvers. So it's basically four louvers per floor, or eight. There's four in louvers blown in and four blown out.
Okay.
And landscaping is the same. I believe that it was designed per the current ordinance for irrigation and
yes,
whatever that
yeah they did
one was.
Change so that. And then we are also doing some work in the Caltrans right away because there's a big grade difference. And but anyways, we're working with Caltrans to get an encroachment permit and actually put a drain and some landscaping on their side of the fence.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm going to start with a speaker slip. Cecilia Brown.
Thank you. Today's allowing me to continually come up here and speak about projects.
Thank you. Having been on the DRB when we saw this project a long time ago, my only comments are I noticed that Mr. Burke has provided a photometric plan and with cut sheets of lights, and I would just ask that as I see the conditions as they are written, these are the old, very old county lighting conditions, which you know, are sort of, they're not really current anymore. The city of Goleta does have dark sky guidelines that are more specific about fully shielded, full cutoff fixtures, which are really truly dark sky. And I'm not sure if this photometric plan shows this one fixture on the wall mounted, if that's a dark sky or not. I can't tell. Does it have light illuminated?
No, that's all solid, so that is
okay.
A dark sky.
Yeah. Okay, so they all dark sky, then that's great.
And I would like to point out also that at the east end, as we've gone through and updated,
yeah,
one of the conditions was that these light fixtures at the east end cannot shine out
thank
of the
you
creek bank. So we've added, what do you call them,
shields. Okay.
On that end to avoid that.
Good, thank you. I was just going to ask about that because this is probably a sensitive area and you don't want any light escaping over into that area. So yeah. Other than that, welcome, neighbor. I just live up Kellogg, so.
Good.
Anyway, so we'll
yeah,
see the
I remember you from the last time.
You probably do. Okay, thank you.
Okay, questions from the board. Bill?
Thank you, Chair Branch. I had a question for staff. This was originally approved in 2011 and then just recently came back to the Planning Commission in 2016. When it comes to Title 24 standards, what standard is this project required to meet? The one that was in effect in 2011 or the standard that became in effect in 2016?
In regard to building code stuff, they would be subject to whatever they, because they are, would be submitting to building now.
Okay.
So they'd be subject
not the one
to
at the original entitlement, but the one that's
no, because
recent.
They didn't go through building at that time. They're going through currently.
And then I guess I have a question then for the applicant. Were you considering the use of photovoltaics on the top of your roofs to offset the electrical usage of the facility?
You know, we had talked to a solar company, and they just thought that there's a lot of particulate in the air where they'd be getting dirty to where it would affect how they work. So, yeah, we kind of didn't go any further than that.
There's also power purchase agreements where I appreciate what you're saying about the particulate. That's interesting feedback. But where somebody will come in, a firm, and go ahead and build those and then sell you back the electricity that's produced at a reduced rate and then eventually turn that turnkey facility over to you at a set point in time. So that there are particular advantages to even moving ahead, even with the particulate buildup issue.
Right.
So rather than just completely dismiss it out of hand as an opportunity.
Okay. Well, I'm open to whatever information you have.
Okay. I appreciate that. It may be that it doesn't make sense, but it could be that could still be something that pencils out.
Right.
One of the things that was important as I was reading the, I guess, the minutes from 2008 talked about the screening from 101 and the importance of that. and the fact that the building should be stepped back, and also and you addressed it, the Caltrans property, the fact that potentially important landscaping would be required and that the Caltrans property would be important to use to put that landscaping in. Do you know with any level of certainty whether that's going to happen, or
it's going to happen, yeah.
Okay, so you will be able to put landscaping in,
yes,
in the right of way from Caltrans, mm-hmm, to help soften that view.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
I don't have any questions at this time.
Okay.
Carl, do you have questions?
Nope.
Aaron?
Yes, Mr. Burke, since it's been 8 years, and has anybody on the board seen this before, Bill? Oh, you all have. Well, since it's coming to myself for the first time, Mr. Burke, could you talk a little bit about your architectural intent with this building? Has it changed over time?
I will tell you, I am not the original design architect on this. Greg Reck with Architects West,
mm-hmm,
did the original design, and I've since then inherited because of the workload that they had.
Okay.
But I do know that they did respond quite well to the request about not having just one big flat.
Yeah, I think we started out with a perfect rectangle, and this is what we kind of ended up with here.
Yeah. So I know just in going through and sort of converting his plans to my plans, there's a lot of, as each floor goes up, you get a lot of variation between the building. Not all three buildings are not the same, and each floor is a little bit different with some windows and outlets, and I think it's actually a well-done method of breaking up that elevation, especially on the north side facing the freeway.
Well, the massing is fairly clear on the drawings. What's not clear is the skin, the material. We get some idea through this, but none on the elevation. So could you talk a little bit about that material? Is it corrugated, the depth of it, et cetera, et cetera?
It's a Kynar painted 26-gauge galvanized sheet metal. There's 100 different corrugation types, but it's not going to be that S-type corrugation you get at Home Depot or something like that. It's going to be, typically, it's a 12-inch on center high rib with two medium ribs, or I'm not sure if he's even selected exactly what it's going to be. I think they were looking more at the colors, but typically the ribs are like an inch and a quarter to an inch and a half every 12 inches, and they're sort of a square type look.
I get the picture. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Karis, do you have any questions?
One was, you're removing one of the oaks. Is that to put in the drain? Is that what happened? There's only one.
Yeah, there's only one, and it's kind of the no man's land between Caltrans and us.
Yeah, I saw
the
that.
The property line is like in the bottom of a hole right there.
That's what I was
and wondering. It needs to be filled where the tree is.
Oh, so you'll kill it if
yeah.
you fill it in.
Right.
Oh, that's too bad.
I think we are replanting a number of oaks.
You are replanting oaks, yeah. So my understanding is you have this plan that shows your side of the property, and then you have the creek planting.
Right.
Also, but there's no planting plan for the creek side.
Well, there was.
There was.
Well, actually, we're.
Did I miss it?
Part of the conditions were.
That's the planting list for this one. Yeah. It looks good, and the ones I can.
Yeah, Sam Mathis had a planting plan for the, yeah. because we're removing all.
There's
the
no plant list.
Bamboo.
You're talking about the creek bank or the.
I look on LSU and I can't find the plants that they have listed here.
But that is going to change.
Oh, it's going to change.
Yes, because in the conditions we hired a biologist that's going to do a non-native vegetation removal plan and also a replanting plan.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask, how are you going to get
yeah,
rid
so
of those?
They're working on that.
Because you can't use pesticides. Okay. That was my concern. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Sure. I got one more. Okay. Now I noticed the colors changed. They were colony green, and now they're emerald. Is this the emerald? I like this one.
I don't know.
Colony green?
I'm not sure.
There's a big color board anyway.
Oh, it says in the writing, it says.
A lot of the color depends on what manufacturer you buy it from as to what they call it.
Right, but you're going with the deep green.
The deep green is the intent to stay with that, so.
Okay, thank you. That was, that clears up that.
Okay. I don't have any questions, so Bill, do you have any comments?
Thank you, Chair Branch. I'd be glad to. I think this is clearly a major improvement over the current uses on your site. I hope your current tenants are able to find other places to relocate, but this really is a major upgrade to the site. And additionally, it looks like it will improve the ESHA on your interface at San Jose Creek, so that's another benefit thing. It's going to be, well, just when you drive through Goleta on 101, you notice that there's significant landscaping that softens the views of the built environment. Through Goleta, you hardly even know that there's a city of 33,000 people here in some ways. So it's going to be really important to establish the screening that will help this project, because I know that was one of the things that was first mentioned in 2008, the stepping back and the landscaping for the screening.
Yeah, I think it's in there that the existing plants on the Caltrans side are now staying. Originally, we were going to remove them and regrade for drainage over there, but now for probably it's like 300 or 400 feet, it's going to be staying until we get to that hole that mm-hmm. needs to be filled. Mm-hmm. The drainage work done.
So I was just going to say that the way that this is presented, I would support this in terms of the emerald green versus the darker green. I think clearly the darker green blends in better with the landscaping vegetation
yeah,
you'll
right.
be providing there, so that at some point in time in the future when you drive by there, not that it's an unattractive building, but it will be very well screened and a benefit visually.
Tom?
The only comments I really have is just what I said the last time I saw this project, which I like it. This is it's a benefit to the community. I think it does a good job screening, like Member Shior was saying, and that's it for me.
Okay, Carl.
Well, it's a tough site, obviously, and long, narrow, and squeezed in between
it
the
is.
Freeway and the railroad track. So I can't say that I'm not in support of the project. However, I'm probably going to vote no. Based upon my original comments way back in 2008 or 9 or whenever that was, of trying to get some more movement in the building, shall we say, because this is most of the other buildings along the freeway have on that side have that the train track closer and have a buffer, and you don't, so you are literally right on the freeway. So I would still like to see, obviously, some notches and some a little bit of softness on the ends of these buildings in two-story forms more than we've got. But that could easily just be me.
My thought is, when I'm driving by there at 65 miles an hour, I'm not really inspecting the architecture of the.
So
I mean, there's going to be trees growing in, and.
Well, certainly will help. Not removing the existing stuff.
Yeah.
So the more you can do that, the better off we'll be. Absolutely. Okay.
Aaron, do you have any comments?
On the photometric plan, I did notice a few areas of the parking lot that had no illumination, 0.0. So maybe a little bit underlit in some areas.
Well, you know, we just hired John Maloney to do our electrical engineering, and he was suggesting he had some different type of light. Instead of having all those pole lights going down the railroad tracks, he could light that whole area from the building.
Okay.
Which
I like
to me, I think that would be great.
I like
work.
The fixture.
I think we would still need some pole lights down at the creek to make sure that you're shining back. Plus, that's the driveway's only 20 feet wide. Where you get down to the parking area where the creek is, it's probably 60 feet wide.
Just a comment.
Yeah.
And
where the zero? I can't study that.
Carl has it. It's I noticed some back in here.
So that's like out in front of the main office area.
There's one right there.
Just something I noticed. The fixtures you've chosen are very, very nice and appropriate.
I know that does get a little light from the building next door, so I wonder if that...
Maybe.
Because
the landscaping looks really nice. I like the fact that you've chosen fast-growing trees on the freeway side. The only comment on landscape is just to confirm that the irrigation controller is a smart controller. I noticed that a rain sensor was specified, so that tells me it might not be a smart controller.
Well, with the new irrigation code, I mean, good God.
He may have done this. He may have done this plan.
This plan hasn't been upgraded yet.
So maybe just update the controller spec.
Sam Mathis is on it.
Other than that, I'm in support of the project, I think. Colors are nice. Architecture is nice. So those are my comments.
Okay. Dennis?
So one more question. Is the existing landscape hedge in the Caltrans right-of-way?
Yes. Well, no, not all of it.
Well, yes and
for,
no.
For probably that 300 or 400 feet, it is. And then when, like I said, the property line drops down into a hole there, and then we planted the same type of plant on our side of the fence the rest of the way down to the creek. So all that's going to get removed and replanted. And the plan should show that.
I didn't look that close, but it does seem to me that the project hinges upon this landscape and the view from the freeway. And I could not disagree with you, Mr. Schwann. You're just going to be zipping by, and it's going to be part of the background to that end. It should have looked like three railroad cars. But I don't think this is... any sort of offensive or inappropriate design. In fact, I commend you for taking a really backwater site and making it useful. I mean, this is the best place that you could ever put storage units.
Yeah, well, right. Luckily you've all worked with us and helped it.
Yeah.
Helped make
so,
it happen.
But it does seem to me, the big question is, what is the relationship between the building height and the existing and proposed landscape? And that's just not clear to me on any sections or illustration. So with that sort of unknowns sitting out there, I'm inclined.
How do you, is it the tree type?
No, it would be a section through the site that showed the freeway, the landscape, the building, because when I drove by and I did do some trips on
the freeway
today.
Oh, you mean the existing
landscape. How much taller is the building than the landscape shorter?
Right.
I.e., what is the visibility quotient of it, even though I don't think it'll be any sort of offensive.
Could we add that to your sections?
It's just the unknown that I have.
We have a section that goes through the site and the highway, which basically shows them pretty much level all along the way. So you're more interested in seeing...
What the relationship of the landscape is to those other two elements. But in general, I support the design and the project with that one unknown.
Okay. Karis?
Okay, I also agree. I support the project, and I'm liking your plant selection, although you tell me it's all going to be different.
Not all, no.
Okay.
But in the creek.
In the creek, it's all going to be different?
I don't know about all different, but they're,
That would be my thing, as long as it's...
I think Sam Mathis picked the plants on that plan, but the biologist is going to pick them on
and she's going to do all natives and stuff, so as long as that's... I'm okay with that. More local. Yeah, I noticed they had a lot of...
So what do you think of our other area that we redid?
Well, I think it's nice. You have a lot... The buckwheats are just going crazy.
Yeah.
The sages are doing well. You still have the eucalyptus there, but, I mean, you can almost not get rid of them. So
that's a
keeping
giant
your eucalyptus. Things and keeping the dead stags and the stuff that's there for animals and things like that, they're probably going to make you clean that up at some point, but it helps for...
Right.
rehabilitation. And yeah, the you're not getting a lot of things growing on the slopes. I think the slopes are pretty steep.
Yeah, they're
steep.
Pretty well shaded from the willows really down in there. Yeah,
really
they are steep
and really shaded by the poplars, the big
oh, the poplars,
the big,
yeah.
big trees. So as you move that way, you know, you're going to, obviously the biologist is going to change that,
yeah.
probably, is that you don't have such a steep slope coming down into it, but those things are all regulated by the state and by
yeah,
the water
pretty much.
Acts. So I'm sure they'll do a great job, and, I mean, my approval would just be pending that. Only little comment on drawings here is your backflow prevention and your pressure regulators. You have it one way on the drawings and then one way on the details, so just... Yeah, that's it. And gopher wire, good idea. Underneath, because those boxes get
yeah.
quite eaten.
Okay.
I think my comment's the same as it was back in 2008, where I support this, and I would just encourage you to plant as mature landscaping as you can afford at the time, because... I mean, this is the elevations that we're looking here are great, but it's definitely showing mature trees.
Yeah,
and so
it's they're going to grow in, but just like any tree we plant, you turn around, and how did it get so big?
Right. Yeah. No, I get that.
All of a sudden, they're a problem.
I get that. So, no, I'm in support of it. I think it's the right use for the right site, and you know, the colors are muted, the forms. Play and you have articulation, and I'm fine with it. So would anybody but Carl like to make a motion?
I'll go ahead and I'd like to make a motion, Chair, for design review approval, but I need a little bit of help on this because I note that our Karis and Dennis were mentioning about the relationship of the trees and plantings on the freeway side with the freeway. And I don't know quite how if we can work that in because they had some concerns about that.
Mr. Chair, can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
This is part of the staff conformance where we could get the information from the applicant and send it along to the two members.
Okay.
Is that
okay?
All right.
That
yeah.
Makes sense. Can you do that?
Yes. Yes.
Work that into your motion.
Okay. So I move for design approval, with the proviso that staff will be providing members Whalen and Clinton. No, I was at Aaron. Okay.
Mine was just that there would be a planting list and plants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For this creek.
My comment had to do with the irrigation controller, being a smart controller.
Okay. With the proviso that the landscape irrigation control be a smart controller, that there be a planting list, and also reference to the height of trees and landscaping in between the building and the freeway and how it relates to the height of the building, and that information be provided to Member Whalen and Clinton and Carol.
Okay. You get a second?
I'll second it.
Discussion? No? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed?
Aye. No. Whatever. Aye, no.
Okay. So okay. The motion passes. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's Mark Delagara. Yeah. God, what is the name of his company? But he was with us prior to this. He did the initial study of the creek and
but he's going to do a revegetation, whatever he does.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so with that, we'll move on to item G, announcements by members. Anything?
Yes, I just had one announcement, and that would be board member Schneider can't leave until he finds an adequate replacement.
I'll second that.
That would be admittedly ideal, although I believe it's his prerogative. That's gonna be a love fest, isn't it? I guess.
I expect I'll be here on the 14th until.
Well, I would like to say thanks to you, I'm here.
Yes.
And I'm grateful.
You said the next piece is Valentine's Day.
And I'm grateful for your participation, what you've given to the community, for your input, and ultimately your friendship. So, on behalf of the city of Goleta, I thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to add that I'm sad to see you go. I appreciate all the years you put on the board. You, and also I need to mention Cecilia, were the two people I watched the most closely when I first came on this board, because frankly, I didn't know what I was doing. I thought I did, but I didn't.
And you watched them.
And yeah. I watched them.
Probably a bad
and
choice.
Thank, so thank you.
I just figured it's been 15 years. That's plenty long enough.
Yeah. Can't argue with that. All right, well, with that, we are adjourned.
The time till then, let's dream of what there will be till then. We'll call on each end. We'll call on each